Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fight inflation the old-fashioned way by spending less money. Check out the HyperX store at Amazon.com to find great Prime Day deals on July 12th and 13th. Stock up on new gaming gear so you'll be equipped for the new launches and content drops. Mark your calendars and set your alarms. Deals like this won't stick around long.
Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild.
Gaiden.
In this season, we are playing through Okami. In our last episode, we defeated Oni Island. We chased down nine tails and cut off every single one of those tails, which each of those tails happened to be a little guy or gal, but we killed them too. And then their spirit went north, so we shall travel north. One of the things that happened in the last episode too is that we were basically forced to go to Oni Island and we couldn't do any side stuff. So as soon as I got freed from this, I did go ahead and do that. We do run into Waka like as soon as this starts.
Yeah.
He's really callous about what's going on. Waka has changed considerably from the Waka that we saw originally. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe like his, you know,
war is
it's clear his motivations have changed.
He's getting closer and closer to achieving his goal. So he doesn't have to put on the ruse anymore.
Right. Because he just callously talks about Himiko dying and he's just sort of like, it doesn't matter. Himiko is not important.
She was resigned to her fate. She knew she was going to die, right? You knew that, right?
Yeah. And then he gives us this just really lame fortune of a shocking zap and it opens. Like, we've been doing that. And on Oni Island, we were shocking things and opening things. So this isn't new.
Shocking and zapping left and right.
It feels pretty good to get that one off my chest.
He also is just like, while I'm here, let me just go ahead and mark on your map real quick. Okay, bye.
Let me just right there real quick. And that's where you got to go. Bye.
I found out some things about those big rocks that were too hard for us to slash.
Mm-hmm.
Did either of you guys figure out how we do those?
Are they lightning rocks?
I got really excited during this episode because I thought I figured out the solution. And I was like, all right. Got it figured out, and then I immediately went to one, and no, absolutely not.
Yeah, so these are all optional, and the way you get this is there are... So I have mentioned about getting certain upgrades to certain moves that are all optional stuff. There is one with the chef where he gave me the ability to summon fire at any time.
Inferno, yeah, that does a huge drain.
Yeah, it takes up three slots every time you use it.
Oh, so, I used it once and like just got drained.
I want to say maybe not. But where the fish restaurant was that I talked about getting that giant marlin that I took there, I went back there and I got another move, and that is the whirlwind move that if I go and do three parallel lines, it will create this like tornado around me that just attacks enemies. So there's just something else. I'm never going
to
use it. What's that?
What'd you have to give the fisherman to get, or the fish restaurant guy to get that one?
The marlin. You got to go find the fisherman.
Okay.
That if you go to the Orca, he's on one of the islands and you do a fishing mini game with him.
Okay. Okay.
And he'll have a giant fish and he goes and takes that there.
Okay.
But, there's also a grotto that I talked about before about donating money that I put money in there. Nothing was happening. And it was because I didn't hit enough. And when you do hit enough on that, you go and you're greeted by one of the gods. One of them that I got gave me a bomb upgrade that lets me draw two bombs at once now.
Oh.
I'm never going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Although one of our patrons, Cody, was like, yeah, I use bombs in every fight. It's part of my strategy. So I was like, okay, we all do it differently.
Yeah, after getting this sword and putting some gold dust on there, and then eventually we'll see another dojo that lets me upgrade my sword even more, I'm just holding down that and letting go after a second and taking out half of everyone's health right now.
Yeah, because you can charge that and run around and just hold the button down and jump and dodge and let go when you're ready to unleash the fury.
Yeah.
Not the brown.
I've been looking for dust, which is a weird thing to say, but I haven't seen any gold dust, and I just assumed the guy on Oni Island didn't seem to be selling any. And then the next store I found didn't seem to be selling any, so I need to backtrack and find some gold dust so I can actually upgrade my glaive. I've been spending it all on rosaries. So
I found mine at Kusa Village, which was the town where the good wind had died and was being blocked by bad wind. And that just right at the entrance, I was like, I'm pretty sure I bought them from this guy. Nope, two of them. Cool. Thanks. Bye. That was quick.
But in that same area where you get on Orca and you could swim around on those little islands, there's also another grotto that if you donate some money, always do the biggest amount. I can't remember the exact one, but you're not going to pay more than what you need if you do like the biggest amount like three or four times. Because you get a cutscene and then you get an upgrade to your slash. So you get an upgrade to your slash that lets you slash the iron rocks. There's iron rocks and then there's like crystal rocks.
Okay.
Crystal rocks are the hardest ones. And we will actually get access to the grotto that'll let you do the upgrade to the crystal rocks later in this episode.
Okay.
So if you go back to where Orc is, if you care to do this, all of the stuff, whenever you break it free, there's a clover, but it's like a clover with a lot of faith on it. It's not like five, it's like 50.
Yeah.
So if you want to be powering yourself up, which I have been, I've maxed out my wallet. I've maxed out my ink. I'm close to maxing out my health.
Oh, I haven't.
Does the wallet upgrade just increase capacity?
Yes.
Which I've never hit, but yeah, because I might have
upgraded my wallet once in like the very beginning, but I know I've gotten a million or I've gotten 100,000 to buy the Yellow Fury. I just didn't know when it actually maxed out.
Yeah, because I haven't hit it at all, and not that I've been maining that. I've been maining the ink, but I neglected to get back on Orca and explore, but I explored the entire way back. I walked back and went through every area looking for cats and stuff, but damn, I missed a bunch of stuff on Orca, so I want to check that out.
There's another thing that I've come across that I can't figure out, and that there are these little statues that Isun says something about making an offering.
I still don't know.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those.
I keep waiting.
Still haven't figured it out.
I keep waiting for like the ability to give something, because I think I've even tried checking items, and none of them are like, this will do a thing, or this, you know, whatever.
I accidentally used an item trying to make an offering there. I thought maybe you could just give up an item.
That's what I thought too.
Like a god charm.
Something I hadn't used before. I think the vengeance slip. I don't even know what that does. But
deals damage.
Either deals damage or increases your defense.
Well, who knows? Because
yeah,
didn't do anything.
They just got burned. Yeah. The other thing that I figured out is on Cyan City, I had mentioned before about those cherry blossom trees.
Yeah.
And about how there are a couple of them that are cursed. Now, if you go to Mr. Flower, who he's their shaman there or whatever you want to call him.
They're Mr. Orange.
He's their Mr. Orange or their Mr. Bamboo.
They're Mr. Cherry.
He mentions about how you need to get all of the ones that are not cursed bloomed, and then he can do his dance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talked to him,
one left.
He said there's one left. Brian, did you figure out where that one is?
Eventually. I even made note of it in my head. I was like, oh, yeah, look at his head. Okay, that's cool.
Yep. He's got a little tree on his head that if you bloom him, his head will bloom.
That's the last little twig.
Then you get a little game where you run, you chase him down. He does a dance in front of each of them. The curse goes away for a second, and you can bloom each of them.
Yeah.
You go around. It just gives you more faith. It just, you know.
Makes the town.
You want faith. I mean, you want to power up.
Makes his house nice, too, because his house is built into the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. It's just nice to complete it, too. Also figured out where that thief was in the town. He's hiding inside of a rock.
I spent a lot of time in CN City just looking for stuff, doing this. Yeah, I never really found the thief, although I think I figured out what I have to do. And then also there's apparently a way to draw designs on... at the clothing store if you talk to one of the kids?
No, there's a shop that you can just walk into, and if you go into the second room, there's a designer back there with like a big wall behind him. Mm-hmm. You go up and talk to him, and he'll just be like, do you want to paint? And then you can just paint.
There's a kid, one of the three like street urchins is it has drawings that if you... go look at, she'll show you a drawing, and then if you go replicate it, something good will happen. If you do that a few times, you get something good.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't remember. I don't know what it is. So,
I'm trying to think, like, after I did that, I went back again since I got some new abilities and tried to get some more stuff, and I was just getting more faith, which was kind of disappointing. But I guess in the end, like, what I was going for was the upgraded technique. Like, everything else just, like, it gives me more power. I want more money. I'm not getting enough money. I think that's the problem.
I got a ton of money on Oni Island. I think I spent all the money I had buying some item, like a new sword on Oni Island. And by the time I left, I had, you know, 200,000 again. But then I realized it was 2 million for the Brown Fury. And
yeah,
I don't know if the end of the game is just going to be dumping gold on us, but there's got to be some way to get up to 2
million. I figured there's going to be an amulet that'll like increase the amount of gold that we get or something.
We're getting a lot more per fight. We're also getting really great treasures in this new area that are worth more than
yes.
the ones we have been getting. So we've steadily been getting like more and more expensive things exclusively.
I also went ahead and cleared out a couple bounties. And
oh, how much did you get for that?
One gold dust.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Glad I'm disappointed because I already had gold dust and now I have 3 gold dust and I'm like, I'm not going to spend this on the items that I'm not using.
Was that the first area or the second area?
Both.
Both of them were gold dust for each one.
I'm going to assume the next one that we get is also gold dust. So yeah. I'm not going to pursue it right now.
Yeah. How many more weapons are we going to get?
Anything else before we move on to the new town?
I hope I don't run out of gold dust by the end of this game, so I have to go do one of those. That's my anything else.
I'm telling you, man, it's so easy. It's so easy.
Though. Yeah, I guess you just run around at
you
night.
Just keep making it perpetual night, run around to all where those enemy things are, jump in, slash. Like, it actually was kind of fun going in there, having a couple of the like basic imps, you pee on them, and then you do a big sword slash, and then you slash them as they're doing their like dying pose thing, and they knock out some more beast things. I don't know. That actually felt kind of rewarding.
I need to go back and spend all my fangs, because once we got to the Emperor and I saw the menu, I've just been stockpiling and I've never spent them.
Yeah.
You reminded me of something that I bought from him. I found the water element chip or whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
That lets me run on water.
That's my
Are
next
you kidding
one.
Me?
That's
it's
my next
pretty
one.
Great. It's pretty great.
I'm that like 20 fangs. I'm like 20 fangs away. So
go back to the first field, man. I'm telling you, you knock that out so quick.
Yeah, that's true. I was running around it. I hope it's not like we got that one item in Oceanhorn 2 that was like swimming in water is no problem now, except for when like you get into a body of water that they're like, well, no, we still want you to drown here. You can't use that.
No. So. I ran everywhere.
Okay.
I went to the area where Orca is, and you could just run to the islands now.
Oh, hell oh, yeah.
It's slower. Technically, it's slower. Orca moves faster than you do running, but it's pretty cool because they also have those clams down in the water that you can keep slashing, and they got treasures in there. So you're collecting a bunch of treasure through that, too.
Oh. Okay.
But, yeah, running on the water is great now.
In the water?
Yeah, you just slash them.
Okay.
Anyway, anything else before we move on?
Yeah, no, I just ran all the way back home.
One thing I did learn is that you can only get upgrades at certain dojos, which I didn't realize before.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back to the first dojo, we're going to see another dojo in this episode, you go to the second dojo, you can't grab the new upgrades at any dojo. Only that.
No. He's got different curriculum at different schools.
Yep.
I didn't see the new one of these dojos. I'm excited. I figured there would be one. I didn't see it.
Oh. Well, yes. Anyway, so we have to go back to the first field. That is where Waka wrote a little circle down for us to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually something that I had mentioned in a previous episode, too, that I ran up here. Use the little cat statue to climb up this wall. You go around this area, and there's just, it's just, it looks almost like a, I don't know, just
like a tree stump.
No, not a tree stump.
And this is where we'll be ending the episode. Thank
no,
you so
much. No, it is not a tree stump.
I will say I got to this point, and I was like, is this what Jeremy meant by a tree stump?
So, yeah, I went and found the name of the next area, and then went to that next area's like wiki page, and then went to find on page and typed in tree stump, and it was like, and so there's a tree stump that you'll be going into and such and such. I'm like, all right, this isn't it.
Well, I knew it wasn't the tree, like I knew it was not a tree stump, but I was like, has Jeremy had like a rough day and he thinks this is a tree stump?
Yeah, I was like, I need to look into this real fast. Look ahead into the future.
No, this looks like it's a destroyed shrine. Like it's something that collapsed on itself. And it's got one of those lightning rods sticking out of it. And there's, fortunately, a thunderstorm happening around us.
Hey!
So you shock it, it rotates, a door opens. You go down into here, and we have just this long tunnel that...
I mean, before you do it, like, Eason's like, are you sure? Like, do you know what this is, right?
It's more of the game.
On the other side of this tunnel is the Northern Island. So here we go.
So that takes us to
Kamui?
K-A-M-U-I. Kamui? Yeah, I'm not sure. We get into there, and it is just a snowstorm is happening. Everything is frozen here. We do get a battle like right away with a new enemy, and this is one that has like an ogre mask. It looks more human than most of the monsters that we fight on here, and we're going to fight a few that are like that as well. Yeah, it has a tribal look to it, with like this giant green ogre mask looking thing.
Yeah.
And we go and fight them. Whatever, it's an Okami fight.
There's like 7 of them. They are like they almost act like Dr. Mario enemies, I think, because you can only damage like they have like a blue and a red face or mask. Like their mask is different color depending on how they're standing, and you can only hurt like I did a big slash and only the red guys took damage, and so I don't know. It was weird. I didn't get it quite figured out, but I had this sinking feeling I was in a Dr. Mario game.
All right. When we get into there is a hut that we go into, and we get this cutscene that is like, it's different than some of the other scenes we have. It's like intimidating and it's like tense. We get into there and there's a fire going and there's a guy, a masked character on the other side, and he's just looking at us through the fire. And we're having this standoff where we're each moving around the fire.
Slowly circling.
Right. Waiting for the other to like make a move. And then the dude just leaves.
Yeah.
I thought this was a cool scene just because, you know, you don't see him at first. He gets up. There's the overhead view of you both just being like,
yeah,
who's going to attack first?
Yeah, I liked it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then it was just funny that he's just like, peace. I was just trying to get to the exit.
Let's take this outside.
It ends up being, let's take this outside. But at first, he's just like, see ya.
Deuces. Right,
this is my house. Let's not mess it up. Eason is very weird during all of this section we're going to be doing where he talks about the things that happen here in a way where he's divorced from it or like not a part of it or not familiar with it at times. But then like he knows all these people. Like he knows who they are and he doesn't act like it until someone like calls him or says, hey, you know, hey, you met so-and-so. How's he doing? Is he doing rough? And I was like, see, you knew this guy. You knew this guy that we had a big fight with out in the snow.
But like you said earlier, he was stopping us and he was just like, do you know what's up ahead? Like there's probably hesitancy for him to be coming back here.
Oh, yeah.
He probably wants to do his best to just pretend like he's not here.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird at certain times when you're reading his dialogue where, you know, at a certain point I'm like, stop acting like you're not involved in this. Like, stop describing all of this stuff so like just emotionlessly. Like, I know you know what's happening. I know you know these guys.
It's like that dude who used to be in a ska band, but he doesn't want to tell people he used to be in a ska band.
Yeah.
But then you find the picture of him in, like, a fedora with, like, a checkered shirt.
Checkered shirt, yes.
I didn't know you played the trumpet. There's a trumpet case in, like, back by the washing machine. Like, oh, yeah.
That's not mine. I'm just holding it for somebody.
I'm holding it for a friend.
Pick it up. Put it down. Jeremy's face right now.
Oh, BC. Oh, we need to get back to the game. This is Oki.
Yes.
Oki from the Oina tribe.
Yes.
We have a fight with him, and I don't know. It's another Okami fight.
Sort of. We fight him like an Okami fight. He's got a sword. Eason's like, I don't know why he. Look at that sword he's got. It's so ornate. Why would he have a sword like that? And I'm like, okay, so apparently that's like a special sword that Eason knows about, but he won't talk about it. Apparently, okay, whatever, Eason.
Yeah. It's like that sword is a masterpiece. First of all,
yeah, that's a great sword. But yeah, then halfway through the fight, he turns into a wolf and fights us as
right.
a wolf so he can transform. We're starting to build the narrative about the Northern Ireland. We're starting to build a narrative about the Northern Island. But yeah, these are, yeah, I know. That these are in indigenous people. They call them tribes. The people that live up here, they refer to them as a tribe. And so, yeah. And then they're also like magical animal shapeshifters, apparently too. So
cool. See when he turned into like a dog, I was like, oh, he's a monster. I'm okay with killing him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then it was like, oh no, it's not.
I'm like, no. I've been dreading getting it. I was like, well, we don't. I've been wondering if we're going to go to Hokkaido, and I've been dreading how they're going to handle it.
I'm telling you, the history. I made the bet before that we would have one more area.
That's where all the evil comes from.
Yeah, this is where they said all the evil originates from here too. So anyway, we're still getting ahead of ourselves.
I do love he after the fight he transforms back into a human and like you know it says how did I frame this? I mean like just the most spot on line from a you know anyone from an indigenous tribe or group of people just says not bad white one.
it's
very you know Lone Ranger Tonto sort of thing.
This guy has like big Zero from Mega Man X energy.
Oh, I like that. I like that. He points out Isun and says, "Oh, you have a Ponkle with you." Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've heard this term.
Yeah.
And then he recognizes him as Isun and then talks about how, you know, we haven't seen you here in forever. He's still painting, doing all that stuff. It said that I remember that you ran from this land in disgust years ago.
Just 1 year ago.
A year ago. And then Isun asks him about like why he has this sword and all of that. Like that is a sacred sword that is meant specifically for the leader of their tribe to wield and all of that. And he's very cagey about it, where he basically just says, like, I have the sword. I'm going to kill monsters.
The time is ripe to use the sword.
Right. But Isun's like, no, but why do you have the sword? He's just like, I have the sword. I'm going to go kill monsters.
Yeah. I mean, he eventually will just repeat the prophecy about the sword again. But yeah, at the beginning, he's like, I have the sword because the time has come to have this sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Anakin Padme meme where it's like, I've got the sword. Oh, you're returning the sacred sword, right? You're returning the sacred sword, right?
I have the sword.
Yeah. He mentions about how it will glow when the time is right as well, but it's clearly not glowing, and he makes a point of saying, like, I haven't killed enough monsters yet, and so when I do that, it'll glow. And it's just like, dude, you did not read the instructions, all right?
No.
Like, this stuff is out of order. You need to go back home.
He lets us know a little bit about what's going on with the mountain and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, he talks about the Ezo Fuji Mountains. And how there are things going on right there, over there that are a problem. That's the traditions that they normally rely on are not working right now. And everything has gone wrong since the darkness came north. And it's been like perpetual snow and all of this stuff.
Yeah. And during the daytime, it'll melt, but we get a little bit of a break. But at night, it's just a harrowing blizzard. So yeah, the village is practically entombed in ice at this point.
And we get another one of these things where in the middle of it, he stops talking. And it's just like, would you like to know more? And it's like, yes, I would like to know more. Please keep talking. But yeah, he explains all that stuff to us. And then he's just like, well, I need to go now. And he goes and leaves us. And this gives us a new area to explore. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll see what is waiting for us in this frozen land.
Do you love Japan and video games? Well, so do we. We're Kinsey and Mark from Kyoto Indie Dev's Chuhai Labs. Join us twice monthly for games, silly Japan news, and all-around nonsense.
Nasty Labs.
We stink at making commercials.
We f***ing got this one, bro.
Be sure to stop by the Chuhai Labs Discord to chat about our games or ask us questions.
Chuhai Labs and the Nasty Labs podcast. We're legally the best.
Nowadays, if you have a cool idea for something, the best thing to do with it is to turn it into a podcast. That's what everyone else is doing. HyperX invites you to consider the HyperX DuoCast. The DuoCast has all the essential features an aspiring podcaster would want from a USB mic, with HyperX favorites like Tap to Mute and a vibrant mute indicator. It's compact and elegantly styled, perfect for situations where you want to put your voice inside your computer. Check out the new HyperX DuoCast, available at Target.com, or shop directly at HyperX.com.
I'm Colette.
And I'm Matt.
It's time to talk about the most important topic facing humanity.
Climate change. Oh, okay, video games.
Every week on Colette and Matt Have Entered the Chat, we have in-depth conversations about the games we're currently playing.
We also talk to people who make video games, as well as YouTubers, writers, and podcasters that you already know and love.
We also talk about what you're playing when you join our community.
Subscribe to Colette and Matt Have Entered the Chat wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The secret word for this episode is spider. Go to the link in the show notes. Go ahead and enter to win a copy of Skyward Sword HD for the Nintendo Switch. So we are back. Everything's frozen. Let's figure out what's going on. When you go and run around and explore here, we do come across Yoichi, the arrowman again. He talks about, like, everything. I have ruined everything around me, and I have come here to hide. Yeah. And then you get close to him, and then you're like, time to ruin some more things real quick.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, he takes it as a good sign. He's like, look, this is clearly, I've done something right. You know.
Well, he mentions about how it's whenever you are around me,
yeah,
you remind me of the old stories of the heroic dog or whatever. Maybe this is a sign from the gods that I am doing something right.
Whenever you're around, it's only when you're around that the gods show their hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's trying to hide because he thinks that his bow is the cause of ruin. But why didn't you just leave your bow?
Well, he's got to have something to do.
True. True.
He can't take up another trade.
He said I've wanted to do big things, but I just gave myself an easy path in life. But now I should be just focusing on my archery. And I was like, dude, I thought you already were. You're always shooting your bow when I see you. So I thought you were focused on that.
Also, did you guys run into Kakari and his dog friend? They're over fishing.
Yeah. So I haven't been paying attention to the fishing minigames that haven't been mandatory, but I did do this one, and I had more fun with it than I have in the past. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's clams and squids and octopodes and all sorts of stuff.
And you keep getting, they keep getting bigger the same way as they had before, but like it's always optional. Like they're just like, do you want to keep going? If you keep going, you're going to find something big.
Yeah.
I caught a supreme tuna, and then immediately after that, I tried to catch something that just instantly broke the line. And I didn't realize he had a little health bar until he got dragged into the water.
Oh, no.
So when you... he has a health bar at the bottom, so the line doesn't break. He just flies into the sea. It's hilarious.
Oh, no. And you never see him again.
Yeah, I must not have talked to the right parent or dog. Because when I went home, I talked to the kid and dog in town, which now I think I can go take that dog to the guy on the other beach who's like, I miss my dog. I miss my Shiba.
Oh, yeah, I haven't done that one. But when you talk to Kakari, he does mention about he wanted to become a real man like Susano.
Right.
And I just thought that was so funny for whatever reason. Like, we haven't seen Susano at all since we saved their town.
Yeah, no, he's been home. He's got drama in his life, but
he went home and became a family man.
No, not really. He's still getting up the courage to like ask her out or something, and she's like, "Oh, the rice will be harvested soon. I hope he helps me." And I'm like, "Didn't you guys like seal the deal the other day? All right, I thought we were good. All right, whatever."
That was just casual. Anyway, there's also a dojo in here that if you go into there, you get some new moves. We get increases on combos for the glaive. There's also one of those that if you have double glaives, you get more power. There is a new headbutt technique that will let you charge rocks, but it's only the rocks that you are already strong enough to slash.
No.
So it's it's an alternate to slash. Yes. It's an alternative move to bringing up your ink and slashing rocks, is you can just headbutt it.
You can either find it for free or pay for it in this form.
See, I bought that thinking, okay, I can finally break open those weird rocks that we've been seeing everywhere. Yeah. Not the case. Was a little salty.
Yeah, you have to go and make some donations, like I said before, with that. There's a couple other moves in there I didn't get. There's one that's like a... it adds it to the dodge that it'll do a...
It damages. The dodge does damage, right?
The dodge does... Yeah, I think it's... Again, I didn't get it, so I didn't see it in action.
Like piss levels of damage or something? Like, it does something.
It does something, possibly.
Yeah,
it maybe does piss damage levels of damage.
Yeah.
Yes, Brian.
Well, I mean, that's we're all adults here. That's literally a way you could describe the literal mechanics of this game.
I did also come across a grotto that if you go down into there, you'll find the king blockheads.
Oh,
the king of the blockheads.
Okay.
And he has, I want to say, 8 points to hit. So it's like really hard to remember exactly like the order and where they were.
Mm-hmm.
I just recorded it on my phone.
Yeah.
And then just like played it back, since you could just like hold down the right trigger as you're like painting. And there's not like a time limit for it. So I just like did that and was like, oh, okay, that was super easy to do it that way.
I almost did that in the Oni Castle because he gave us like 5 or 6 on that one. And the first one was a jumbled mess. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna record this. And the second one was so much easier to remember. I was like, okay, I'll just do it. So, but yeah, I almost was brought to that point.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else did I see in here. There are a lot of animals, a lot of bears to feed.
Lots.
Hopefully you got a lot of fish.
So many. There's some foxes that are pretty cute.
I thought they were tanookies, but the guy we're going to talk to soon, the old man, has a tanooki mask on.
Hmm. I forgot to mention, we did get to bloom a tree and remove the curse, so we my favorite cutscene. The song was different this time, though.
It was. I noticed that, too.
That was strange. Didn't have the vibe that I typically enjoy from those cutscenes, but it was nice to be able to do that and to free the land and do all that, so that was cool.
It was also in a winter wonderland, so a little bit different than what we've done before.
Yeah, right. It had a little like kind of winter musical flares in it. It wasn't like over the top, but yeah, just a little bit. And that was also our reward for doing Yoichi's arrow shooting thing.
Yes.
Was he blew a rock that had entombed the tree.
So we keep going. We eventually get to the town here. When you get there, it feels deserted. We eventually find out it's just everyone has their doors locked because they were told to lock their doors.
By decree of the king.
Yeah. We go up this area all the way to the top. This town was it's interesting because it's like multi-leveled and it's like you're going up a mountain.
Yeah.
As you go up this town.
And every door you check, at least you have to press A. You can't just like accidentally run into them and get into an Eason thing, but he's just like, the door won't budge.
Yeah, same thing every single time. Doesn't change. It's not like you do it a couple times and Isun's like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Especially since we'll find out he's very familiar with this town. You think we would get more information from him because he actually knows this place, but no. Mm-hmm. We get up to the top and there's a character named Samical that is guarding the chief's hut. And if you go up to him, this guy is all talk, though. I wanted to fight him so bad. Like,
no.
I was like, dude, fight me. 1v1 me right now.
He's like, no, that's not the point of this.
But no, like, he kept saying it. He kept, like, threatening us.
He's
and I'm like,
yeah.
Bring it.
I'm going to mess with you, but, like, I'm not here to mess with you, but I will mess with you.
He talks so much trash, you don't fight him. Whereas Oki said nothing, and it was just on site is going down.
You got to admire it. You got to.
Well, we find out later that Oki's a warrior and Samical is not.
No, Samical's a warrior. Oki's
he's
just
an elder.
No, yeah. Samical's like, he's the chief and he's a security. Warrior. He respects Oki because everybody knows Oki's the
dude. Right. Yeah. Well, he's the fighter. I mean, to Samical's, we go into Samical's house, it's just filled with books and he's more scholarly, but he could probably fight if he had to.
Isun says, let's get out of here, basically. So we go through all of that.
You'd like that,
we
wouldn't you,
Isun? We go all the way out, and then a character named Kai stops us, takes us into their hut. Kai runs up to us, and it's like, they're another dog-like creature, but they're talking to us, and it's not like... See, this is the problem. We get to this area where there are people that turn into dogs, but then when they come to us as a dog, we have spoken to animals before. Mm. So I'm just like, is this a dog or is this a dog person? Or a person? Is this a dog person or a person dog? I don't know which one this is. We do see that this is a human or oina. I don't know. Like, are they humans? I don't know. But I think they even mention humans as being other types of people. I think the oinas are like these werewolf, let's just say, kind of.
It's like like any time in like some kid cartoon or whatever in the 20th century where like Native American people can turn into their spirit animal or something like that. It's like this mystical, magical mysticism of an indigenous tribe or something like that.
Yes, but I mean that's still Americanizing a lot of that stuff there. I think it's probably pretty. It might be like just a standard folklore tale of like these tribes that are so connected with the animals and all over the world that like they have abilities similar to those with them, or at least they can channel through animals and things like that. Like that's something that's like beyond just natives or anything like that. Just like. People of the land kind of thing.
The people who lived on Hokkaido are descendants of the people who traveled across the land bridge into the America continents and stuff, but they're just people that stayed there. And so they're not natively Japanese, but they're native to that area.
I just assume that this segment was written by furries. So,
yeah. Yeah, this is a Wolf's Rain thing.
Anyway. Kai explains to us that there were two demons, Lechku and Nechku. And that's kind of like they were the two mountains here. It was very normal for them to come to life in the form of like a volcano that would heat up the land around them. And they had a ceremony for all of this stuff here to keep it like, keep it clean, make sure everything gets done properly. And, it has not been going well.
Demon maintenance.
And that is because someone, who was it? Yeah. So what happened was, is that the elder here he's too old, not able to do it properly, and they were looking to someone named Lika to take over to finish the ceremony, but Lika has gone missing. And they have an idea of where she went. She went to this forest area that people don't like to go to because it is just like this dangerous dark forest.
He heard a wisp of her energy coming from that forest.
Right. They literally call it like the consuming forest.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's what it translated. That's what it means.
At the end of this conversation with Kai, we do get a howl, and that is from the village elder asking us to come back up. So we then have to run all the way back up there. And this time, the
one
guard
voice
before
cried
is just
out in terror.
And so we go run all the way back up there, and we see the elder, and he's just like napping, it seems.
Or potentially dead, as Eason says it.
Isun is just sort of like, that dude kicked the bucket.
And like, you know this guy. And he's just like, you know, oh, it looks like this old dude just kicked the bucket. And I'm like, shut up. Like, I've already heard you talk about, you said it to Oki. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I tried to touch that sword once and I got my, you know, my tanned hide, my hide tanned, or however he put it. And so, yeah, like, I already know you know this guy.
Mm-hmm. But he basically just describes to us about how Lika is more powerful than he is now, and that they can do the incantation better than anybody else, but they have disappeared, and unless we find them, this town is doomed to completely freeze over.
Now, had we ever heard about Shiranui, the wolf from 100 years ago, having a pint-sized diminutive...
No.
Sidekick? That was new to me when people were just talking about it like it was an established fact in this episode.
The story was Shiranui and Susanoo's great-great-grandfather or whoever.
Nagi.
Nagi. Yeah. That was the story we had always been told.
Mm-hmm.
If there was more tales, it did not reach our town.
Right.
So it could very well be that this is just a thing that, like, you know, the dog went all over the place and had different stories in different towns.
Yeah.
And
as we get to the end of this section, we're going to find out there's a wider mythos going on. So, mm-hmm. you know, we see Shiranui framed in their contributions to that one town and fighting Orochi. But Shiranui was somewhere before that. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
The elder mentions the forest again. Yoshpet is the name of the forest. In order to get there, we need to get a like a talisman that will let us pass through the field that is blocking everything else out.
Right.
And so they open up this other area of Kamui, that's just like back room area that they have. When we go up there, we see it's just this giant frozen lake with this huge, like, capsized ship frozen underneath it.
The Ark of Nagi?
The Ark of Yamato.
Yamato. Yeah. Whose name is that?
We had heard about this before, but it wasn't really a big deal. It was just something that, like, got mentioned before. And this is where we go all the way to the top and we talk to a person named Tuskel, and they are another, like, I don't know how to keep up with all the roles of these things here. Like, they're sort of a gatekeeper.
She lives north of the wall.
Yeah.
They can all see us. Like, these people are, they know, they see our markings. They see our godliness.
Yeah. They all know what's up. But she goes and really explains to us, like, what this arc is. This arc was a spaceship, basically. I mean, they say from the heavens, but from what everything that we're seeing on here looks alien, right? Like, it is a steel ship with glowing lines through it, all these symbols and all that stuff. And they talk about it, how it came from the heavens. You know,
celestial beings.
Right. They refer to that, but everything looks alien to us. Mm. I don't believe it's actually going to be alien in the end. We had the thing with the bamboo girl back.
Literally going to space.
Went into a ship that took her up, possibly to heaven. She could be from what they consider heaven. Who knows? But they talk about where this is something that really has not been talked about, that this ship crashed down here and unleashed all of the demons then.
And they were being followed by the demons, or
no? It had the demons in it. It was an ark. It was holding the demons, and it crashed down into here, and all the demons, like, leaked out of it. And they were this is the source of all the demons that we see in this land. So this has been happening, like, since this thing crashed, and this is the origin of all the bad stuff that's happening right now.
Okay, yeah. Well, the monster stowed away
than that, because it was an ark for the Celestials.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that there are demons on board that murdered them all.
Yeah. They didn't know they had stowaways.
Yeah, and they do make it clear of saying one of them survived, but they didn't say who.
One.
They
one
said
dude.
It was
a dude.
Yeah, they said it was a man, like a human-esque character. We don't know exactly. I'm gonna put my money on Nagi. That's all I'm gonna say.
I'm gonna put my money on it's Waka. But
Maybe Waka caused it.
It's
and that's why he survived. Okay,
I thought it was gonna be like, since they were celestial beings, that it would be either one of the constellation gods or just us god, like the god or something. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they mentioned about how Yami is still looking for this being.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where, like, why the demons are doing what they are doing is really to do that. That's why I was thinking Nagi, because we had the whole thing with Nagi to begin with.
Yeah.
And about, like, trying to make a blood pact with them, with Susanoo, to try to take over the spirit of Nagi or something.
Yeah.
Like, after they explain all of this stuff, they give us the talisman or whatever that we need to go in to the forest. And we can explore around here, too. There's some stuff to find. This is where you can find the other grotto that'll give you the final upgrade to your slash so that you can break those crystal rocks. So you need to get the first upgrade where Orca is in the ocean. So you got to go find that grotto first, get that upgrade, then come back here. And there's a little drop off while you're like going up the winding hill on the outside of this map that you can jump down to. And there's a grotto down there. You could donate some money, get that upgrade if you care. Like I said, as so far, all I've gotten is more faith out of it. But if you want to upgrade some stuff, that's a effective way to do it for sure.
I only have a pouch and my health to upgrade, and I don't go through those very much, so...
Right. Well, yeah. There's another thing I have not brought up. I think this is incredibly important. If you do upgrade your pouch, you should immediately use one of your golden peaches to fill it up. Because when your pouch is at max, all food that you get gets immediately converted into money. So
it does?
You don't want to... Yes. Oh. You don't want to waste that. If you have any extra food, will get turned into money.
I've only used
my pouch. So you do not want
twice.
An empty pouch.
I've only used it twice, so it's been full basically the entire game.
Okay.
I think I used it for the first time this last session. So
I haven't actually used it at all. Yeah. I don't even know how, honestly.
it's just a fairy. It just fills
Oh,
your
it just automatically does it. Yeah. Got it. We go running down here, and then Kai stops us again, and then dumps some more lore on us.
Mm.
She talks about the Day of Darkness.
Well, you didn't know there was a timer until Judgment Day?
Right. Again, just out of nowhere, it feels like, where she's explaining to us that the demons are waiting for basically like an eclipse to happen. And when they do that, it will be the whole land will be dark for long enough that the demons will be fully powered and will be able to wipe out all living things. And this is the key thing. And it's like, we have not heard about this at all. I'm going to guess there isn't actually a timer because we play around with day and night all the time. I guess it doesn't necessarily progress time when we do it, right?
It's not going to be a Majora's Mask timer.
Yeah.
We're not on a timer-like timer. They're just like, hurry. You know, H hour is almost upon us.
She mentions that this happens every 100 years. Again, a nice, clean time span there of 100 years. And also that, like, she's going to help us by showing us where the location is where we can find this girl that we've been looking for.
Hmm.
Follow me. We get to Yoshpet, and Waka's waiting there. And this has been, like, the least useful Waka has ever been to us.
It's almost like a dig at him, because he's, like, he's talking about the new thing. He, like, you know, oftentimes he'll be like, well, I'm trying to do this, when he comes right out and says what is, like, I'm trying to get into that cave, that moon cave, so yada yada. This time we know, we've already seen the thing that he's looking for.
Yeah, he basically says, yeah, I'm looking for a heavenly ark. Have you seen one? And we're just like, no, yeah. I'll let you know if we do, though.
You know.
He takes like 5 minutes to essentially say that he feels like he's been locked out of heaven. So,
yeah. I'm going to go with Dogma on it.
Let's see. So he just disappears. Kai shows back up and explains to us that this forest has pollen that will confuse you, and we need to get there as quickly as possible. And I thought for sure this was going to be a maze.
We got
to
get to the Poké Center as fast as we can.
It's just a gauntlet.
It's just this gauntlet of those evil trees that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah,
throwing their fruit at us, and a lot of like spiky walls that you have to jump through a hole on.
Mm-hmm.
And boulders, and
there was some like snow boulders,
snow boulders, ice sickles.
Yep. Those, yep, those as well. Were there any mandatory fights?
No.
Okay.
Well, I think there's one at the very end. I believe when we get there, either at the very end or at the very beginning. I can't remember. But I think there might be one. Either way, it doesn't matter.
And she's pretty good about waiting for you if you get stuck. But then sometimes like she will go and wait at a certain point along her route. And sometimes that point is way far off and you have to search for her if you lose sight. Like, wait, where did you go? You took a winding turn. The same thing happened with Mr. Flower in CN City, where he would do a tree. And then he would run off, jump across the canal, and not necessarily go to the closest tree. Like, so he's got to be careful.
But yeah, we go through all this. I immediately was like, I wonder if I'll get to go back through here because I want to turn all these trees good.
Yes.
So that I can get those points.
I was skipping chests. I was skipping evil trees.
Oh, I didn't skip chests. I never skip chest day.
There was so much time.
There really was. I think I ended it still with another 2 minutes.
BC put 5 points on the board for that one. Chest day.
That
was a good one.
Yeah, so we get all the way to the end of that, and this is where we are introduced to Puck-10, which is this tree stump, basically. Mm. We get up to here, and there's just this, like...
Picori.
It is just this, like, nice, like... green, beautiful, little area.
Yeah.
We went through this just nasty cold, almost like felt poisonous in a way, forest. And then we find this just almost green oasis in the middle
of it. Warm green oasis. It's like we found the primordial stump.
The Smurf village.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Isun tells us this is where the Ponkles are from. This is where I'm from. And then they're just like, he says you're not going to be able to go inside of here. And then the magic hammer shows back up.
Lucky mallet.
I was like, why did we not have it with us? Like, what did it, I don't remember it leaving back for its home planet after.
Yeah. I mean, we did it a favor and it owes us one.
We got other stuff. We can keep other stuff in our pockets. Like, yeah. I don't know why we couldn't keep this.
Well, we let him go. You know, Lucky Mallet is a nice guy. He had, it's like Genie at the end of Aladdin. He's got stuff to do. Yep. Let him go.
For our next episode, we are going to finish Wauka Shrine. Go through, meet some little guys in here, do whatever they need, help them out, go find some people, get to a new shrine, finish it, meet back here. We'll talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Gaiden.
Okami.
Come and knock on our door. Come and knock on our door. We are waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Everybody turns into some kind of dog. It's Okami too.
That was beautiful.